Good Tuesday. Today is December the 23rd, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take a quick look this morning at what fertilizer prices are doing and also a look at some of the winners in that National Corn Growers Association Yield Contest, both nationwide and here in Ohio. We'll be back with the details on that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, the National Corn Growers Association is excited to announce the winners of their 2025 Corn Yield Contest. With growing conditions that led to a projected record corn crop, this year's participants delivered impressive yields and once again showcased the ingenuity and resilience that define U.S. agriculture. Now, in its 61st year, the Yield Contest saw nearly 7,800 entries from farmers in 47 different states. Entrants across the 10 production categories that they had verified yields averaging 269 bushels an acre. The highest yield this year came out of Charles City, Virginia, 572.2589 bushels per acre in Class H, that is their strip-tilled irrigated class, and a name that's extremely familiar, David Hula, once again captured the championship. The yield contest is really about finding out what the crop is capable of. That, according to Jed Bauer, National Corn Growers Association president and a farmer right here in Ohio, as corn farmers, we get to show what we're made of. It challenges participants to find innovative ways to succeed and contribute to decades of agronomic data that prove that America's farmers are great at what we do. Now, the 30 national and 567 state winners will be honored by the National Corn Growers at Commodity Classic in San Antonio coming up in February. Here in Ohio, taking a look at those divisional winners, your overall state champion was Matthew Baim from Hancock County. He had a Bex hybrid, and Jim Dausch from Sandusky County was the state runner-up with a Pioneer variety. Now, district winners included District 1, Aaron Stuckey and Jason Ruvenall. District 2 was Matthew Baim and Jim Dausch. District 3 was Brian Jospile and Dale Jospile. In District 4, it was Mark Scheffler and Wesley Roberts. And District 5 was Kent Edwards and Ross Stiber. District 6 was Don Jackson and Ben Brodegram. District 7 was Corey Ferrens and Scott Hare. District 8 was Jay Ristel and Kyle Croft. And District 9 was James Jacobs and Nathan Ewing. Congratulations to all those winners. We also have in Ohio what we call the 300 Bushel Crub. That is an impressive group to be a part of. Winners of that included Matthew Baim, Jim Dausch, James Dausch, Mark Scheffler, Tom Blue, Kent Edwards, Don Jackson, Kyle Croft, James Blue, Kent Edwards, Corey Ferrens, James Jacobs, Nathan Ewing, Scott Hare, Justin Hare, Wesley Roberts, David Isler, Ben Brodegram, Blake Sims, Mark Colburn, Luke Hare, Greg Waters, Scott Hare, Randy Scott, Jacob Rother, Chad Mason, Greg Waters, and Mason Downs. Again, congratulations to all those corn growers on outstanding yields in 2025. In other ag news, last week the Ohio soybean farmers welcomed a new year of leadership at the Ohio Soybean Association and Ohio Soybean Council as they elected their boards for 2026. For the Ohio Soybean Council, Jerry Bambauer of Auglaize County was elected to serve as chairman. He'll be joined by Chad Warner of Dark County, who will now be vice chair, Jeff McKenna of Putnam County as treasurer, and Todd Hesterman of Henry County as secretary. Now, the Ohio Soybean Association also announced its leadership team for 2026. Pickaway County farmer Bennett Musselman, previously vice president, was elevated to president. Rusty Goble of Williams County, the former president, assumed the role of chairman. Dustin Converse of Union County was elected to serve as vice president, while David Green of Crawford County was elected treasurer, and Adam Vondahar of Preble County was elected to serve as secretary. Congratulations to each of those individuals. Ohio soybean farmers are being well represented. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk livestock. With U.S. efforts to keep the African swine fever away from our nation's pig herds, advice to travelers going to African swine fever-free zones this holiday is don't bring pork back. USDA's Rod Bain explains why in this report.
Among the foreign animal disease threats to our nation, African swine fever.
This is a highly contagious virus that is killing pigs all over the world.
Fernando Lugo of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says ASF is no threat to humans, but could devastate our nation's pork supply if an outbreak occurs within our borders. That has led to numerous safeguards to protect our country from African swine fever, including...
In September 2021, USDA issued a federal order declaring Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands a protection zone. With the detection of the ASF in the Dominican Republic in July 2021.
Important for those traveling to and from the U.S., Puerto Rico, and U.S. Virgin Islands this holiday season to know, as pork products are prohibited from transiting.
This is a disease that can resist extreme conditions, even hot and cold temperatures. So it doesn't matter if you cook the pork meat, even if it's frozen, the virus can survive. So it's very important that when you travel, don't bring any pork products with you. Don't ship any pork products. Some of these products include sausages, bacon, ham, roasted pork, pasteles. The people put chunks of pork meat, the pasteles.
Bottom line, do not bring pork of any kind from Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands if you are traveling there this holiday. If you do happen to have pork with you when entering the U.S.,
please tell and declare the customs officer that you have any pork products and they will take the proper action.
And Lugo adds that it is more than just pork you should avoid bringing back into the U.S. if you visit either Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands this holiday season.
We are also encouraging the passengers that if they travel outside of the U.S., please do not visit any pig farms unless necessary. And if it's necessary, please, when you finish, make sure you wash, you clean, and you disinfect your clothes and your shoes. And on top of that, please refrain from visiting another pig farm in the U.S. for 5 days at least.
More information about African swine fever and how you can play a part in keeping this threat to our nation's swine herds out of the country can be found at this web address, www.afis.usda.gov/stopASF. All one word. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.